Okay, so firstly, this Vod today is L'Zeicha Nishmas Baruch Ben Yisrael, Gene's father, who, those who knew him, and it's apropos that the Tefillah Vod would be in his name, he was always first to come to shul, last to leave shul, so davening was something that was important to him, so it's apropos to have a Vod, L'Zeicha Nishmas, his neshama, whose first yahrzeit just passed at the end of last week. Continuing in the strategies this week and next week, we'll wrap that up. So the first strategy I want to discuss today was finding joy. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us, as Tana Rabbanan, ein omdim lesbal lo mitech atzfus, one should not get up to daven through being sad or depressed. V'lo mitoch atzlos, not from laziness. V'lo mitoch schok, it shouldn't be from laughter. V'lo mitoch sicha, it shouldn't come from conversation, which is what we worked on last week as a group. V'lo mitoch kalus rosh, it shouldn't come from levity. V'lo mitoch dvarim b'teilim, it shouldn't come from other, idle chatter or other dvarim b'teilim. El mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, it should come from a simcha performing a mitzvah. And then Yaakov explains the obvious, that all these different moods can cause a person's mind to wander during davening. And therefore, having the proper mindset makes a big difference. So the Rambam adds to this. He also says that one should also not get up v'lo mitoch meriva, v'lo mitoch kas. Shouldn't be after an argument with someone or when you're angry. But again, it should be mitoch divrei Torah. It should come from Torah, because Torah brings happiness. And he just ends up saying it again. It shouldn't be even Torah. You have to be careful. It shouldn't be Torah where your mind will be involved in the pilpul of what's going on. But it should be more of halacha psuka, where it's something that's clear cut, so your mind's not working on the davening. And Tosfos adds, he says, that's why we start with Psuki Dezimra, because Psuki Dezimra, being words of song, are supposed to create joy within our davening. So we start with there, and as we build towards our Shemona Esrei. And the Mesil Shisharim tells us, and it's actually, I think, the Mesil Shisharim on the second page, I put them on backwards, says, on the Pasuk of Ivdos Hashem B'Simcha, he says, the Medrash brings, Kishetia Omid L'Espalon, gets up to daven, Yehi Libcha Sameach Alecha, your heart will be, glad or happy with you. Shatim Espalol Kim Shen Kiyotzebo, because you're davening to an Hashem who there's no one else, there's nothing else like him. And automatically, by realizing and focusing on this, we'll have that joy of realizing of who we're talking to. And Rav Shimon Schwab, in his book, his Sefer on Tefillah, so he brings a story where he once had the schus to meet the great tzaddik, the Ben Dinarov, who was the brother-in-law of the Imre Emes. And he told over that that people had overheard this Ben Dinarov during davening once. He was saying in Yiddish, he said, "Oy Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Ichab Dich Dach Azoy Lib," which basically means, "Master of the Universe, I love you so much." And that's the joy, that's what we have to feel when we come into a davening. The love, how much we love him, and how much he loves us even more than that, and build that joy. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, and I'll probably pick and choose parts that I'm going to read from that I copied from him. But Rav Shimshon Pinkus brings that one of the yesodos of avoda, and he's talking about davening, is the simcha. And again, he quotes the pasuk, "Give to Hashem b'simcha," and he says, a few lines in, he says, "The misha omei b'tfilo b'shar avodas habore," someone who gets up to daven or anything for that you're serving Hashem, "ve'enu b'matzav shel simcha," and you're not in that matzav, you're not in that place of happiness. So I don't have that problem, being my name Simcha, I'm always in that place. But those that are not, so simen hu sheva emes ena osik b'avodah klal, it's a simen that he's not osik in this avoda at all. Shal karchach eni yodei miyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu mehai avod l'fanav. It has to be that he doesn't know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what this avodah that he's doing. Dim hayu yodei es apirish haposhet b'yosu shel shmo yizbaruch. If he knew even the basics of who Hashem was, v'hatov, the good, v'rachma, menachem bo, and the mercy that he has, I efshir hayu b'metziyah shel yismal b'simcha, it's impossible that we won't automatically be filled up with joy. And he says, this, he brings a mashal, he says, if a person sees someone who's holding a wallet, and you know that in that wallet there's $1 million, and you see this person running but is not showing that type of happiness, you know he has no idea what's in the wallet. It's just a wallet. He says the same thing's by tefillah. When we're standing there, if automatically we're not filled with this joy, then we have no idea what we're doing. So he says, it's impossible that we can't that or that we don't have an automatic happiness, an automatic joy when it comes to davening. And he brings a mashal. He says there was someone who was very sick, and the doctors in the town gave up hope. There's nothing we can do for you. And he heard that a expert doctor in this field was coming to town, whatever it was for, to give a lecture or whatever it was for. Just hearing this already, brings happiness and joy to this chole. Even he doesn't know. He doesn't know if we'll ever see him. He doesn't know if the doctor will be willing to see him. But there's hope, and that hope brings that joy. He says the same thing as if someone, is in a financial issue and they're, trying to get into the bank manager and, as we know in many of these things, getting in is the harder part. Getting the loan afterwards is the easy part. And, he can't get in. And one time he was on the bus and he was talking to the guy next to him and he was telling him how he's in a financial situation and, he really needs a loan, but he's having trouble getting to hold of the bank manager. And lo and behold, there was the bank manager, the one who was sitting next to him and heard the story and said, just call me, whatever, and we'll take care of it. The joy of automatically knowing that this person that I was just talking to, that he can do this for me, is an automatic thing. And he says, we have to realize that's what our davening is. When we're davening to Hashem, we have to realize that he's the one who can do anyone. He can do anything for us. We're talking to him, and he can assist us in anything that we're asking for that help. And if we ask it sincerely, then therefore he'll help us. Automatically, we should feel that joy that will help us with our davening. The Arizal says in the Sefer Minhagei HaArizal that a tefillah that's recited while one's depressed does not get the divine light, does not get the ur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that tefillah normally brings a person. And he says it's true. We still have to feel the awe and the fear and humility while we're davening, but these feelings do not contradict the same thing as feeling joyful during davening. So therefore, sometimes we confuse that, I'm before Hashem, I have certain feelings, and we therefore convince ourselves that being sad or being depressed is part of that feeling, when there's no contradiction to realizing who we're davening in front of and feeling those feelings of humility and awe, but at the same time feeling joy that, this is the answer because Hashem can do everything and anything.
Does that include Rosh Hashanah and Kippur?
Yeah. It doesn't mean you can't have joy. It doesn't contradict that when you're confessing to the person that you know that loves you and can help you and can take you, it might be tempered a little bit, meaning it may not be the same as a typical davening, but it still doesn't contradict. They're two totally different feelings. Yes, when you're doing, you're confessing your averus, there's a certain feeling bad or taking responsibility for what you did. But even when you take responsibility and you say, Hashem, I realize I was wrong, that doesn't therefore mean I don't realize who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the person that can clean the slate if he feels that I really mean it. And that, that's why, you're supposed to come out of Yom Kippur, on a high, not because it's something that we know he's taking our tefillos and helping us. We're not supposed to come out in this, feeling of, oh my gosh, total trepidation. Now, it's a balance. It's a balance that we work on. So how do we get to this joy? So the first thing, again, is focusing, as Rav Pinkus had said, that realizing who we're talking to, that it's Hashem, the one and only, who can and will help us, if we're asking him and asking him with sincerity. Secondly, the Reish Chachma tells us that if one would reflect on the chesed that Hashem does to us by allowing us to serve him, you'll automatically feel that joy also. And he brings a mashal. He says, imagine you have a king who's got everything. He's got beautiful palaces. He's got faithful and honorable ministers. He has loyal subjects. And one day the king's traveling through one of his provinces, one of his countries, and he sees a local countryman there, and he says, I want to make you a minister. And I want you to be with, my presence every day and to serve me. And if you do this properly, I'm going to raise you to a position of power greater than any of my other ministers. Now, obviously, this guy is going to feel, extreme joy, because he realizes the king has nothing to gain by choosing him to be a minister. This is being done totally and solely for his own benefit, for this person's benefit. And that's the same thing but with Hashem. Hashem doesn't need us to do mitzvos. He doesn't need us to daven. He doesn't need us to learn. It's just for us. It's for us to be able to grow closer to Hashem. And realizing the chesed that Hashem's providing us situations to grow close to Him, that automatically, the Reish Chachma says, should bring us joy in our relationship and closeness to Him. And therefore, focusing on these different aspects should help us to always feel the joy, but certainly at least during the davening, say, you know what, I'm excited, I'm happy to be, here talking to you. Talking about excitement, we'll go into the next strategy, meaning a spirit of excitement. If you ever watch a 13-year-old put on tefillin for the first time, there's an excitement, it's real, he's made it, he's part of the minyan, he's putting on his tefillin. You watch this boy a year later, 2 years later, unfortunately becomes like the rest of us. It's mechanical, it's throwing him on in the morning, his mind can be anywhere. The newness is gone, and when that newness disappears, the excitement goes with it. And it's because of this trait of human nature that in Shemak, that it says that V'hayu advar me'eila sh'anochi mitzavcha hayom. And Rashi tells us, what's hayom? So Rashi tells us, lo yeh beinecha kid yudgema yishana, it shouldn't be like an old thing, she'en adam sovna el kechadosha. Should we feel like it's something new? Shall call rots and lacrosse that we're always running to it. And the and Rashi's saying this now, this is about learning, but Rashi's telling us that Hashem put this word Hayom into the Torah to tell us that in order to feel the excitement for learning, it has to be new. And newness has this unique power that it excites us. And that excitement helps us to grow and want to reach higher. And Rav Dessler explains that the root of enjoyment by mankind is built on newness and change. The greater the change or the greater the newness, the greater the one's satisfaction and pleasure comes from that action. And as we know, even nisim, even miracles become routine. Whether it's miracles that happen out and about or miracles just on our daily function. Everything that goes on, that our bodies are working and you go through, we take for granted. And it's not an excitement of what goes through. And because of this, davening becomes a struggle too, because davening is a routine. We daven 3 times a day, 365 days a year, and that routine kills the excitement and kills that newness. So how do we counteract this tendency where we become accustomed to the davening, and how can we make our davening feel a newness? So the Altar of Kelm says that the same way every time you sit down to learn a Torah and you get a new understanding, that newness of the new pshat gives an excitement. He says, so too, every time you daven, tefillah provides a new insight. Tefillah provides a new feeling, and if we grab those feelings, we'll be able to have keep that newness in our tefillah. There are different suggestions that were made about keeping newness for davening. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky used to suggest that people should change siddurim. And every so often, you change your siddur, so it's something new, it's something different, and that again will bring the freshness. The Mekar Chaim says that even though typically we know it's better to daven in a siddur, looking in, as we discussed last week, says every once in a while, it's better to daven baal peh. Because again, you're changing up the routine, and it brings a certain freshness. And Rav Yerucham Lvovitz used to suggest, and he would tell Talmidim that they should change their Malkum Kavua every once in a while. That even though, again, Malkum Kavua, and we'll get into that next week, is a very important aspect of davening, but every once in a while, again, changing the place of where you're standing, again, changes the davening and makes it something new, and that helps to regenerate the enthusiasm that we need for the davening. The last one that we'll do today is what's called the power of visualization. And Rav Zelig Pliskin brings a story. He says there was a POW in the Vietnam War that spent several years in solitary confinement. Now, in order to preserve his sanity, he spent about 4 hours every day working on his golf swing, and visualizing it and mastering it, every single day. After his release, when he went back to the golf course, he found that his game and score improved greatly. So all those years of visualizing what he was doing succeeded in improving his game. And we too can therefore use that by davening. If we take, for example, if we visualize a possible obstacle to our kavana, and then imagine how we would deal with it, so when that comes up, we'll be more prepared in dealing with it. For example, your friend comes to you during davening to talk to you. If you work on this mentally on how you'll deflect him, how you'll, you know, show him that, you know, you don't want to hurt his feelings by not talking to him. You're not going to shush him out loud or bang on the table. But, you know, you'll work on something where he'll understand, or you're in middle Shemoneh Esrei and your mind starts to wander and you think about, you know, how I'm going to pull myself back together. Then when that actual picture comes into play, when that scene comes, you know, comes into act, we can then use what we practiced and deal with that. The Mesillas Yesharim tells us, and we've quoted this Mesillas Yesharim many times, about that when we're davening, we have to realize, he says, that we're standing before Hashem, afal pi shein einu sholdom ro'o, even though we don't see him at all. He says, even though, again, yan einachush ozel is a klal, the senses don't help us to feel it. But if we take into the fact, and we think about a telephone conversation, where today, yes, we Skype, so we can, it changes it, but if you go back without Skyping, you're talking to someone that you know on the other end hears everything you're saying, is conversing back with you. So then it's the same idea. It's the same thing now when we're standing and talking to Hashem. So I don't see Hashem, but if I visualize this telephone conversation, I can then visualize that Hashem and I are having the same type of thing. And therefore, don't take out cell phones and make believe we're talking to Hashem. But using this as an example certainly helps. And as the Gemara in Brachas tells us, "Ukshatim smalim du lifnei miyatim omdim," realize who you're standing before. And Rashi says that if you realize it and visualize it, Rashi tells us, "Kadeshet espalu biyuru kavana," that will help one to daven with the fear and the kavana that's needed for his davening. Thirdly, is many times, you know, in many aspects, but when a person gets into a productive routine, the self-discipline to stick to it is very difficult. And one example is typically those who ever try dieting, even if you're successful in losing the weight you want, but then sticking to a routine where you stay where you would like and not just put it all back, or do what I do and not necessarily put it back, but just play with it, you know, a little here, a little off. So those routines, are difficult to hold to. And the distractions, the temptations, throw us out of those routines. So again, if we visualize, if a person has struggles, you know, is trying to come on time to davening, so if he sits beforehand and he visualizes it, you know, time and time again, coming on time, he'll be able to, come on time. If he has trouble with extraneous conversations, preparing himself before davening, looking inside a sitter during davening. So if we continue to visualize these behaviors with time, then when the Yetzirah kicks in and makes it tougher for us to get to shul or tougher for us once we're in shul, we can use these, you know, answers that we practiced in our minds and put them into play. And visualization gives us a means to which we can see ourselves or wish how we see ourselves. And it's that wishful thinking where it's not just wishful, it becomes purposeful thinking. And that then can help us to raise the bar and raise our expectations for ourselves and be able to fulfill them. So if we focus again on some of these strategies, so we've done so far 11 of them, we'll do three more next week, and then we'll wrap this up on this aspect. So working with these different kavanos, working on these different strategies can help build our kavana. We'll close with a story and then the homework. So there was this boy, Meir Braunfeld. He was in 10th grade. He struggled desperately in class his entire life and just couldn't get into it. And one day his Rebbe noticed that there was something different about him. He was focusing, he was asking the questions that were coming next in the Gemara. Then he started to ask Tosas' questions. Eventually he was asking the Ketzos. And the Rebbe felt like it was almost like he was kidnapped and replaced with someone else. And, you know, he couldn't, you know, in the beginning he figured, you know, he wouldn't, you know, want to make any attention to this. But something happened where the dummy of the class suddenly changed, you know, overnight. So after one of these, you know, classes, one of these days in school, Jerry said, "You know, Mayor, can you stay after class for a minute? I have something I need to talk to you about." And, you know, the Rebbe was trying to, after class, bring it out without, like, insulting him or hurting his feelings, and he was struggling for the right words. Mayor figured out exactly what he was, you know, what was going on and what was on the Rebbe's mind. And he said, "Rebbe, I'll explain this to you." He says, "Do you remember before Purim, you mentioned to us the halach of kol mi sheposhet yado nosen lo, that anyone who sticks out his hand on Purim, you're supposed to give him. And when you told us that not only is it in tzedakah, but it's the same thing between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if we stick it out our hands, then Hashem will give us. He says, and I did that. He says, I came to the Baruch of Atachon on Tanu that day, and I started to cry about it. And I davened to Hashem, and when we got to Shema Kaleinu, I said to him, Hashem, you give the poor everything. You know what? I'm poor in learning. Give me das, give me understanding that I should be able to learn. He says, and since that day, I've been able to focus and learn in class. So if we use the tefillos properly and we, you know, mean them and feel them and are sincere with them, and many times we find a lot of these stories are by children because they're still sincere when it comes to davening. We've become more a little bit, we start to doubt it sometimes. But children, you know, there's a sincerity still there. So a lot of the times we see these stories from them, but if we really mean it, then Hashem will be there for us also and answer our tefillos. So this week we're going to go back to working in during the davening. So now that we're working on not talking to anyone prior to coming to shul, so I figured now we can start working a little bit on Chazaras HaShatz, which we get in two tefillos, but sometimes get very distracted. You know, whether it's L'Shem Shemayim distractions or not, but not to talk during Chazaras HaShatz, and in this way be focused on what the Chazan's saying so that his brachos are not brachos l'vatala, but also that we're answering the Amens properly to what's going on and not disrupting, you know, other people.